brahmanas, and cows. If a government worships the brahmanas, the cows, and Krishna Govinda, it is never defeated anywhere. Otherwise, it must always be defeated and condemned everywhere. At the present moment, all over the world, governments have no respect for brahmanas, cows, and Govinda. And consequently, there are chaotic conditions all over the world. In summary, although the demigods were very powerful in material opulence, the demons defeated them in battle because the demigods had behaved disrespectfully toward a brahmana, Brihaspati, who was their spiritual master. Verse again. Because of their firm determination to follow the instructions of Sukracharya, his disciples, the demons, are now unconcerned about the demigods. In fact, kings or others who have determined faith in the mercy of brahmanas, cows, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, and who always worship these three, are always strong in their position.
So, by the offense done by Indra to Brihaspati, and by their faithful following of the demons of their guru Sukracharya, the demons became very powerful and didn't care for the demigods anymore. This was interesting situation. It shows us how important it is to follow the instructions of the spiritual master, especially the instructions given by Prabhupada in him, his personal instructions, his books, his conversations, his lectures, his letters. All these instructions are the basis of our Krishna conscious movement. And that we in turn follow these instructions and it's handed down from one generation to the next. Now, if we fail to follow these instructions, then our situation becomes very precarious, where Prabhupada said, if we chant 16 rounds, if we follow his instructions, there's no power, outside power, that can destroy us. So, it's very important that we dedicate ourselves to follow the instructions of Guru. Now, the Devas, they had somehow led by Indra, they had offended their guru. And Indra, as a result, he realized that he made a mistake, but it was too late. His mistake was he didn't stand up in the assembly, he didn't offer a proper respect to Brihaspati. Now, we may take that as a minor thing, but there's so many offenses we did to Prabhupada, maybe like this, without knowing. But Indra was supposed to know all these things. He was supposed to know better. Those are Anvaktas or new initiates, they may or may not know all the things. But if you're a second initiate, you should know. And therefore, it's expected that those who are taking the second initiation, they are experienced enough to deal with deities, learn how to do yagyas, and they should also act properly to the guru. So all the devas are twice born. all have accepted their mantras from the guru, and they're supposed to know better. So Indra, he committed this offense. Others could have objected, but somehow they disfollowed Indra. And so what one does, if the others don't object, then all have to suffer. Like in the case of Haridas Thakur, he was sentenced to be whipped in 22 marketplaces, rice bazaar. And many people objected that he's an innocent person, why are you whipping him? And so they were saved. But those in a similar case, Ramchandra Khan, he offended Lord Nityananda Prabhu, and no one objected. So later, the whole village was wiped out by the Muslims and looted, and partially they were converted and all that because of their offense to Lord Nityananda, and no one objected. Now, a little offense to the Guru, to the Krishna, it goes a long way. So you have to be very careful not to commit offense. Now, what's offense? Like Brother one time, I was with him and he went to see a brother of Bhakti, see the Bhakti Siddhartha. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's brother. So he was staying at the birthplace of at Birnagar, the birthplace of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So Prabhupada wanted to do something for the birthplace of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. But this person wasn't allowing him to do, and he wasn't doing any. So then Prabhupada asked, is it not sinful if someone is not able to develop the birthplace of Lord, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and doesn't let those who want to do it, do it? Is it not sinful? Is it not offensive? So he said, now he was speaking very strongly, and this person was his, like his uncle, you could say. So he said later, I asked a question. He said, I have no right to speak challenging, but I can ask a question. Is it not? So if you ask a question, it's not offensive. It was strong, but it was, like the Prabhupada thought all these things out, how you do. Even though he was very upset. And later he told me, okay, when he made the Bhakti Vedanta Swami Charity Trust, of which I am the chairman, he asked me, you go and spend some money there. You paint this place up. So that was one of the first things we did. Was to go to Birnagar and basically give a paint job to the place and repair some of the broken stuff. So, but this what is offense, what's not, it's a technical thing, but Indra was an offender to his guru, and therefore Vyaswati left, and he disappeared, and they couldn't find him. And Sukracharya, the demons, the asuras, They are very faithful to their guru. As a result, they become very strong. They are also, Balaji Maharaj was doing the Vishnu Puja. So, as a result, he became very strong. Now, Prabhupada brings up this issue with the present day. All over the world, cows, Brahmins, and God, they're not worshipped. They're not respected. Cows are slaughtered. Brahmins, nobody cares. And Bhagavan or Krishna, they also don't really give much respect. So as a result, situation is very precarious all over the world. So if one worships a cow, if one takes care of the Brahmins, if they worship the Supreme Person of Godhead, protect the cow, then their position as a king is very strong, according to this prophet, according to this verse. So, we chant also, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go, Brahmana Hitaya Cha, Jayate Jaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Maha. If you want to approach Krishna, you have to like the persons that Krishna likes. He likes the cows, he likes the Brahmins, he likes the his devotees. So, if you say, oh, Krishna, I like you, but I don't like your devotees. I don't like Arjuna, I don't like this one. So what does Krishna have to do with you? If you want Krishna, you have to take Krishna with all his entourage. And he doesn't come alone. And so if you like his devotees, rather, Prabhupada said that if Radharani, or Rukmini in this case, if she says, oh, this is a nice devotee, then Krishna will give mercy. So we should try to please the Shakti of Krishna. We should, that's why we say, Rukmini Dwarkadish, or Radha Krishna, or Lakshmi Narayan, or Sita Ram. We always say the energy first, because they're merciful. And also in some places they say Gaur Nitai, but other places they say Nitai Gaur, because Nitai is very merciful. So if you go to Ekachakra and you say Gaur Nitai, they get really angry. What? What? You have to say Nitai Gaur. Jai Nitai. Jai Gaur. So, these things are going on today. We wonder why we are like Krishna. Prabhupada said he was doing Gauraksha, and Balaram was doing the Krishi. So he's known as Haladar. He would carry the plow, and Krishna would carry the rope. He would take care of the cows. So like this, Krishi Gauraksha, they are protected by Krishna and Balaram. And somehow when they came, people didn't even know that even Devas, somehow they got confused that this was the Supreme Lord. He looked like he was just, he looked right, beautiful, nice, but somehow he was living like a colored man. He was taking care of cows, he was out raising, playing with his friends. So they mistook that maybe he is just an ordinary kid. And, you know, like in India, they call him anything, Ram or Krishna. So they thought, well, he may just have this name. But later, like Krishna lifted Giriraj, he lifted the Govardhan Hill. And so he showed that he was, to Indra, he was the Supreme Lord. He showed, he also lifted that he, re-manifested all the cowherd boys and calves to Lord Brahma, and Brahma realized that he's Krishna. So he is the Lord. And Brahma, he went just a second by his time, just a moment. And that was 1 year by Arjuna calculation. And he came back and he thought, I made a mistake. Because Brahma also was a bit sensitive to not make any mistake, that he didn't make any offense. So he thought, well, I'll go back, I'll check. And then he was surprised with what he saw. Now, we have to be also, as we find that some new devotees, they are very enthusiastic. They want to do everything. I want to do this with books. They want to face my guru. I want to do this, do that. They show a lot of enthusiasm. But then after a while, they see that, they don't have taste. They don't have enthusiasm. Where to go? This is because after some time, they commit offenses. And this offenses start to take away the taste. So you have to be very careful not to commit offenses. I was surprised, like, I was sitting in one country, and the guru was very humble. He'd eat with all the devotees. That's nice. But still, he's a guru. And people would step over his plate, they wouldn't treat him, anyone, sannyasi, anyone for that matter. He shouldn't step over the prasad. But they were like, not only cleaning up prasad offense, but cleaning guru up around. So, like this, okay, new people maybe don't know, but if you're an old person, you should know better. So, we have to learn also what is offensive, what's not. Otherwise, we'll be like in Indra's case. We'll be in such a situation that we will find ourselves without taste. And like some people, they commit so many offenses. And as a result, their spiritual kirtan dries up. A large Chaitanya called that this Elisha Adhran Matahati. It's a bad elephant offense. A mad elephant offense that if we commit, it just like an elephant goes into the banana garden. Here, of course, I don't know, do you have bananas in California? Do you have bananas? Huh? I don't think you have elephants either. But, India, we have elephants, we have bananas. So there, at one place, they dig a big trench. It was on the Bhutan border, and it was in North Bengal, and they built a big trench around the village. I said, what's the trench for? They said, to keep our elephants. Elephants come from the jungle, and at night, and they especially they raid the silos of paddy, and they take sugarcane. So if these elephants see the males, they go in what's called a mosque, or what's it called? If they get angry, they just tear everything up. And so they rip out. Now, those plants that drip out, for some time the leaves stay green, but after a while the leaves dry up and fall off. So like that, we don't want to be our creeper tree pulled out by the root, and then for a while we green, we don't see it right away. But after some time, gradually the leaves dry up and we lose our. So we have to be careful. Even an Uttamarikari can fall down if they commit offense to a junior devotee. So we have to be very respectful to all the devotees. Because all our brahmins, all our dear to Krishna, all our devotees, we have to be very careful. So this is one side. I was also thinking how Vihasthati, he was he was eager to come down to the Chaitanya Lila. He came down as a Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and he appeared in public, but he was there associated with Mayavadis, and as a result, he went to Jagannathpuri and missed Lord Chaitanya's education. But he came down, he thought, by being appearing in Vijayanagara, he'll be able to give the education to Lord Chaitanya. Now, Lord Chaitanya, when he went to Jagannathpuri, that time, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya saw his qualities and took him home. And when he had, and there he said, offered to teach him for 7 days. I teach him Sira Vasak, the, what do you call it? Vedanta Sutra. So then, Lord Chaitanya said, well, I understand the sutras, but I don't understand your purport. I don't understand your commentary. So then, he said, well, then that means that what's the right commentary? And so then, Lord Chaitanya, of course, gave him the Vaishnava Siddhanta on the philosophy of Vedanta Sutra. So then, he was so impressed, he asked him to give an explanation of the Atmaram verse. And he gave an explanation so many different ways. And then Vyasati, Sarvabhauma, he realized that this must be Krishna. And so he said, can you reveal your actual Sarup? So he showed his, that he was Radha and Krishna combined, and he showed his Sarvabhauma. And all these figures are still depicted by one mural in Jagannathpuri at the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So, all the devas, they also came down to join Lord Chaitanya. Lord Brahma came down as Haridas Thakur, and various others came down to participate. So, Lord Prabhupada also said that some of the denizens of higher planets came down to join his movement. He said, I don't know who they are. Would you please raise your hand? No one knows who they are. But he said like that. And so these pastimes of the Lord, they're so much ecstatic and so all-encompassing that even the from the whole universe, these illustrious personalities would like to participate. So we have a great opportunity that we are here in the movement of Bhakti, Lord Chaitanya, after 500 years only. And Prabhupada just spread out this movement all over the world. So somehow he said, just work now, Samadhi later. Just try to extend the Krishna conscious movement. And I'm very grateful that here in L.A., in the New York, you're extending the Sankirtan movement all over this great city of Los Angeles. This city has more population than some countries in South America, like Ecuador, or of course, Central America, many of those countries. They only have 2 or 3 million. Ecuador has, I think, about 11 million. I think there's about 11 million here, right?
The city
has
3.5 million.
Oh, only? No,
but the greater Los Angeles is almost 14 million.
Yeah, 14 million. So, like that, what your preaching field is bigger than some countries in the world. So, it's a great opportunity, and we're very happy that you are taking this out. Prabhupada wanted that this area should be also delivered. That we are thinking how the people are suffering so much. He said when he came first to America that these people are in the modes of fashion and ignorance, yet they are very proud. So it's not easy to teach to the Westerners. It takes some patience, it takes some perseverance, it takes some understanding, and gradually though, we're seeing that the movement is spreading all over the world and spreading here. So we should persevere, we should keep on. And by the mercy of Krishna, by the mercy of Prabhupada, we'll see that Krishna consciousness will gradually reach more and more people. How do you know? What time is it? Time for questions. I got my bro.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a very nice class. I have a question about a point that you made in the beginning. You cited the example of Srila Prabhupada speaking strongly to his uncle, which we would, I guess, consider a superior. So are we to understand that if we do speak strongly to a superior and we keep it a question, that it's not offensive?
That's what I was saying. You know, you may feel strongly though. If they say this say to someone, I think you're nonsense. That's offensive, right? Is it right that you smoke even though you're brown? It's not, you're asking a question. So, when they, in India, you get people come up and they say, Prabhupada, or Maharaj, can I ask you a question? You don't take offense. Is it all right to ask you a question? And they ask about three times, you know, oh, what's up? And then they ask their question, which is usually, but they're very careful to ask as a question, some people. So, and Prabhupada felt strongly because he wanted to do something for Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And his birthday basically was falling apart. Since then, it's now a little bit repaired, but still, it's not developed much. So at one point, he felt strongly, but he asked it as a question, so he said it wasn't offensive. So you may feel strongly about something, but still, if they're a senior, like, no one should, you say you're juniors, should not tell you some direct thing, do this, do that. That's not the position. But then they ask you a question, that they have the right to ask a question. Yeah, it's strong or not strong. Yeah.
Jabba Tucker Marsh.
That says a little what?
Well, as you were describing that we have to endeavor to know whether what's offensive and what's not offensive. I mean, to what extent are we responsible for doing that? I mean, there's so many offenses, and I mean, do we have classes on that, or do we just learn by experience or inquiring? How far do we go to make sure that we're not committing offenses, so that we're not, so we remain innocent, so to speak, as opposed to becoming guilty?
Well, in our Nectar of Devotion, it tells us our different offenses. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it tells us offenses. And then, There are a lot of shastras which focus on this situation of how to avoid offenses. With every positive advice, you can take also the negative that we shouldn't, if we should do this, like you know, new people, you see them stick their feet out to the deities. Yeah, they don't know. But if the devotee does that, you know, there's no excuse. They should know that they're not supposed to stick their feet to the deities. Now, some of these things you learn if you're in a bhakti program. If now you have so many of our devotees are our congregation members, most I would say. So, I try to tell them what books they should read, but good point that obviously it's something you should think of, but I don't know if there's any book as such which only deals with offenses. But Netra Dvosha in the first part, it talks about the avrads, siddha avrads, guru avrads, different avrads. I think 64 avrads are mentioned. That's a pretty good start.
Hare Krishna, thank you. Very nice class. It's Dravida here. Back to the point that you made about how Srila Prabhupada very diplomatically raised this issue and therefore didn't make an offense, and he explained that by asking the question. Isn't it more, there's a little more to it than that, in the sense that suppose there's a senior, devotee, sannyasi, and you see, okay, he's not coming to class. He doesn't come to class. This is just an example. So a junior could say, Maharaj, why don't you come to class? Now that's a question. But he may also say, Maharaj, isn't it true that Prabhupada said that all his disciples are supposed to come to class? You see? In other words, in kind of there's more than just putting it into a question. It has to be more of a generalized thing in order to not make a direct. Isn't that true? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, obviously, Prabhupada had gone a long way to develop the Vijayanagara property to do something for Bhakti Nautakar. And at the end, some of the disciples of this Lidrasad, he objected, and so he was stopped. So he was a bit upset. But as you say, it's not every time we should be upset. So you can ask very differently. Prabhu, I look to you as an example, and I see you as one of my, Bhagavan Pradasha gurus, you show the way. Isn't true that Prabhupada said that all the members of all his disciples should attend regularly in class or something like that. And then let them answer. You could present it in a nicer way as you like, as appropriate for the situation. It's not that, as you said, certainly Prabhupada had issues that were built up, and he was very much focused to do something for Bhakti Thakur. He felt that nobody was doing anything he wanted to do. Why was he being stopped? For no reason. So he was a bit upset. And so in that mood, though, he asked this question. But technically he said, later he told us, that since I asked this question, it was an offense. But obviously, it's not appropriate we should be angry and ask questions every time. It should be more diplomatic as possible.
Maharaj, thank you for a very, very wonderful class, especially these points about the demigods. Getting back to Sesha's question, which was asking like a true lawyer, I think it's the responsibility, isn't it, of this, one of the main responsibilities of the spiritual master is to teach the disciples how to avoid committing offense. And also directly related to today's verse, in the seventh canto, Krishna makes a list of those that if you offend them, you're going to be destroyed. He says, Yada Deveshu, Vedeshu, Goshu, Vipreshu, Sadushu, Dharme Mai, Chavidvesha, Sa, Va, Ashu, Vinashati. So he makes a list. He said, first of all, Deveshu, the demigods, Yada Deveshu, Vedeshu, the Vedas, Goshu, the cows.
Speak a little slower.
Yeah. So this is a list that Krishna makes in the seventh canto of people that you should not offend, otherwise you'll be destroyed. So Yada versus Deveshu, the demigods. Then Vedeshu, the Vedas, Goshu, the cows, Vipreshu, the Brahmanas, Sadushu, the devotees, Dharma, and then Mai, he said, myself. So he said, if you offend any of those, you and your civilization will be destroyed very soon.
Thank you for your nice class, Guru Maharaj. We all know devotees that have had an incident with falling down, like you said, that perhaps started with a lot of enthusiasm and then somehow they left or decided not to come to the movement anymore. I always thought that of that verse in Bhagavad Gita that says that Krishna preserves what you have and carries what you lack. I'm not good in Sanskrit, I don't know the quote. But it seems that if the reason for their falling out has been offending the devotees, then Krishna doesn't preserve what they have? I mean, how can we help these devotees come back to their practice and their sadhana, Krishna?
Well, that may not be the only reason. As also Lord Chaitanya told us to avoid the weeds, he said, Nisidachar, Gurdinati, Dida Hingsa, La Puja Tadistadi, Rato Basakagan. We should avoid these other weeds of our devotion, like desire for profit, fame, a distinction, position, that we do some politics, we also do business, our enemies against the animals, do some violence on animals, and we break the regular principles. All these things are, but they're not, they're considered weeds. They can be easily resolved by re-signing their devotional service. Offenses are a little more serious. Now, what we do, Krishna preserves what we have, but if he also warns us, do not do this offense. If you do offenses, then they're cutting the right thing. That offense, see, the one thing is sin and the offense. They're two different things. So sin means you do something which you shouldn't do. And offense means you are actually offending Krishna and those things which are connected to Krishna. So by doing that, it's much more direct against Krishna. You see, Krishna can forgive us. He can absolve easily with his sins. But with offenses, we block him. We stop our advancement. So we have to be very careful not to offend. Krishna, his devotees, all these things that are mentioned, Archital Prabhu. He preserves what we have, but if we commit offenses, then you don't want to preserve, do you? You know, so he warns us. We should be very careful to avoid offenses because they actually take away other things. Like sin doesn't take away; it just like a weeds. It just to take over our mind temporarily, but the offenses, they cut right at the roots, and so it's very much dangerous to commit offense.
I thought that was a great class, and I thought that was a great question. And I think that Lord Chaitanya is more merciful than Krishna.
So,
and Lord Nityananda is even more merciful sometimes than Lord Chaitanya.
So,
and Srila Prabhupada is he is the representative of Lord Nityananda. So the way I understand it is that because they're so merciful, the way they preserve what we have is to awaken after we've been punished enough, you can never be punished enough, but after some punishment, which they've reduced because they're so merciful, they create the desire again in the devotee to come back. But along with that, they create the desire and the realization to seek out all the devotees that they offended and beg forgiveness. And in that way, the mercy is given to a devotee who, after he's been punished.
Thank you. Die and die. Jai Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Prabhupada.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a very wonderful class. You've been talking, and of course this section of the Bhagavatam is about offenses to the gurus, and this verse in particular talks about how powerful it is if one has determined faith in these three things, in the cows and the brahmanas and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So much so that one will never be defeated. So, you know, we've been talking about, you know, the offense to a brahmana, and, you know, we know about offending the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What about offending cows? I mean, isn't it, in one sense, can it be said that we are at least indirectly responsible for offending the cows, since we're, you know, supporting our, you know, maintaining ourselves on, for the most part, milk that's derived from from dairies, which are, you know, having, economically, they all slaughter cows.
This is an answer.
Only after you.
So, of course, some people say that since at least we offer the milk to the Krishna, those cows are better for the spiritual. And in this way, it's better that we take the milk and offer to Krishna. But although it's not an ideal situation, then recently when I was in on my way here, I one day transited Bhakti Vedanta Manor in UK, and there they told me that they had signed a contract with certain gentlemen that those cows that supply milk to the devotees will not be slaughtered. They'll pay a premium for the milk, and they'll keep the cows. I don't know how they recognize which cows, but they say they'll keep those cows after they're producing milk, and they'll give it over to us, I guess, and then we can take them. And in the meantime, they'll sell us the milk. So this is called, this is the beginning of the Ahimsa milk. So if you get a lot of producers to do that, if we have Ahimsa milk, then, I mean, organic milk was a big thing, and now vegans, this is our main thing, but we know that you need also some animal fat, some animal fat to be healthy. So we don't, we're vegetarian, we don't, so the way we take is the milk. So if we get out this Ahimsa milk, and they get basically the businessmen, they'll see cows as business. We see cows as our mother, we just like to protect them, but they see as a business. So if that's the businessmen, if we have Ahimsa milk, if it's profitable, they'll do it then. So we should somehow promote this idea of Ahimsa milk, non-violent milk, and then that way you can, you know, just like years ago, nobody knew about organic stuff, but now everyone's organic. So many people. It's a big thing, right? So similarly, non-violent milk in the future will become the big thing. So if they can do it there, why can't you do it here?
You want me to say one thing? I thought that your answer was perfect, because the only thing we can do for that cow right now is, even though it's been tortured in giving, in the way it gives its milk, but if we take that milk, as you said, and offer it to Krishna, there's some blessing for that cow from that. But when you said the cow, we have to see the cow as our mother. If we really truly see the cow as our mother, then, and we see that we're living in a culture that is torturing and annihilating our mothers, we have to hate that culture. We can't just withdraw from the culture. We have to hate it so much that we want to change it by spreading this movement, by preaching, by giving out books and people gradually becoming vegetarian and adopting Krishna consciousness. That's how we show our hatred for this culture.
Prabhupada is telling that his present job where he somehow he's working as a contractor for the Mr. Wynn, Steve Wynn in Las Vegas, who's the biggest casino owner. He saw one video of the holiday teach the cows in Rio Lake, and he and all his hotels, he now offers a vegan alternative. So it'd be nice to get some more people who are, the only reason they become vegan is they don't see the cow mistreated. But if they have this Ahimsa milk, we could see how we could have vegetarians or lacto-vegetarians, which is what's better. And thus they would have more intelligence to understand spiritual matters. Because the Prabhupada said that being a vegetarian is a big thing, for a big step to understand our Christian consciousness. As long as you have the blood of animals in our hand, it's a bit hard to understand. That's Jiva Hingsa. But I think you have a point. We should want to change this culture. And this is a country where you can do that. And you can't, you do it by market force. Like here in California, many people are vegans. I saw on the corner of national and what is the street. There's a big Reagan restaurant, a lot of Reagan restaurants. So somehow, if we have this vegetarian, we have an ahimsa milk, then in California, then from here you can spread all over the United States. And then from whatever you do here, many people imitate all over the world. What time? I think I should end here. Yes. Hi, Rob. Well.